Hi, Zach. Thank you for joining us.
Very happy to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit about your farm, the local landscape, and what you grow?
Sure. Our farm is located in Brunswick. We're about 9 miles outside of Troy. We do, a lot of different things, probably too many things. We raise primarily vegetables for a vegetable CSA. We have poultry, and which includes turkey and chicken, and also hens for eggs. And we also raise pork. All of our animals are pasture raised, and everybody on the farm is fed organic grain. Our vegetables are transitioning, but they're also raised organically. Additionally, we do some flowers and wreaths for the holiday season, and a few other things here and there. We stay busy.
Well, yeah, definitely sounds like you've got a lot going on your plate. From my understanding, young and beginning farmers have a really difficult time accessing land with established farm buildings and things like that. And I know that you had a pretty interesting story arriving on your land. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That's right. We really had kind of an epic sort of arrival at our farm. We tried to farm originally in Illinois, close to where I grew up. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, it just didn't quite take for us. And as we thought about where we were going to be for a long time, we decided to come back towards where my wife grew up, which is Scaticoke, which is just about 10 or 20 minutes from here. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to get involved in the market here. And we saw that there were a lot of farmers that were doing what we're doing, which is wonderful for this part of the country. We really love that. So we knew we were going to either need to buy a business or just not have an income for our business for a long time, which wasn't going to be very easy for us. So we found Rich and Linda Bolson from Homestead Farm, and we talked to them, and they were looking for a manager for their farm with their vegetable CSA and for their poultry operation. And we had some experience there, so I jumped in as their manager for about a year while we talked a little bit about what the future might hold for us. The future included ASA, the Ag Stewardship Association, and we brought them in and said, you know, how can we help transition this farm? How could we ever afford this farm, basically, because the price tag was well beyond our ability to pay, and everybody kind of knew that. So we slowly worked together to find out what we could do in order to make this a situation that worked for the Bolsons and for ourselves. So they wanted to retire. They were ready for that, and they needed some money for their land and business in order to do that. So what we did is got a conservation easement put on the farm, which basically means we sold the development rights to the state. That means we can never put a house on the farm. We can, besides what we're in right now, we can never subdivide the farm, and it really limits not our farming options, but anything outside of farming what we could do. We put a few additional restrictions in there, which partly was because we worked with a group called Equity Trust in Massachusetts, who were fantastic to work with. They gave us all the money for the farm up front until we could get the money from the state to come through. So they gave us a bridge loan. It was complicated. It was a very complicated process. We're so glad we got through the other side of it, though. But it took altogether about 4 years to get through it all.
Wow. So in addition to having to know how to grow vegetables and raise three different kinds of livestock, you also have to learn how to navigate the legal and real estate systems as well.
Absolutely. Oh, man, we had to bring in a lawyer, but thankfully we talked to, the way I solve problems is to tell everybody my problems, which is a little bit of an issue because then everybody thinks you got nothing but problems. But I was talking to somebody about all the legal issues, and they said, here's your guy, go talk to Jerry Cosgrove. And we did. And we also talked to Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corridor, HVADC, Corporation, sorry. And they kicked in part of his fees as a lawyer. And then he was also incredibly kind to us, but he was the main driving legal factor for us. He was also our top negotiator with our predecessors to make sure we all got what we were looking for. So he was a facilitator, really, for the whole thing. And if you're looking to transition your land, he was a great person to have on the team.
So it takes a legal village to raise a farm, it seems. So you mentioned earlier that you sell your vegetables through a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. I know many of our listeners are probably familiar with that, but for those of them who aren't, can you describe that system?
Yeah, and I'll have to first apologize to other CSA farmers because we use the word CSA, and it's a bit controversial right now using that term because some people use it and mean different things. We tend to sell what we do as a farm share. I don't like CSA because it implies that we're going to make our customers come out and work with us on the farm. But for us, what it really means is our customers, our CSA members, farm share members, they pay for their produce before they get it. And it's kind of like an investment. They invest in us and we deliver the produce through the season. On a really bad year, if the weather's terrible, if we get a drought, they're going to get less produce. And in a really good year, they're going to get more produce, and they're going to pay the same either way. That's a tough sell for a lot of people, but we've got such a great farm family here that they see us through it. And we've had a few bad years, even in the few years we've been here, and it's tough. And without the CSA, I don't think we'd be here.
So it's not quite feast or famine, but there is a level of connection between the customer and what is grown on the farm based on the weather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's tough as a farmer. You want your customers to get the best possible product, but it's hard because you may not get the best possible price. And on a bad year, you can go out of business if you just don't have enough that season. I mean, I feel bad for the apple growers and the dairy producers. I feel like they get hit the hardest by the bad weather.
Well, I guess that's also an advantage of growing so many different products is, a bad year for vegetables might be a good year for chickens or turkeys or something like that, so you can balance it out.
That's right. And even in the vegetables, we grow so many different vegetables that every year something does well and something does poorly. This year our strawberries did terribly because the deer dug them up all winter and we just couldn't get them to stop. But on the other hand, we had one of our best tomato years in a very long time. So that was wonderful. But you're right. And in addition to the produce, our animals may do very well given certain weather. Dry weather tends to be pretty good for our chickens. They tend to really like that. So on a drought year, we may have a glut of chicken, fortunately.
Yeah, dry weather means lots of grasshoppers, which means lots of happy little dinosaurs. So with all this stuff that you're producing, it's a lot of abundance coming off this acreage. How many families would you say that you feed?
It's a lot. We do 110 families in our CSA every week, and then we are reaching probably about another 50 to 100 families a week with our produce or with our poultry, and then maybe another 50 families throughout the year for our pork. And that's not just that doesn't account for the random cuts of meat and random eggs that people come and buy from us at the farmer's market. So I'd say 200-300, maybe as many as 1,000 different families we touch, but at least a couple hundred that I think we're feeding half or more of their diet.
Well, that's pretty remarkable. Off of how many acres is this farm?
Well, altogether, we have 175 acres, plus we're leasing a little bit more. But our vegetable production is under 10 acres, and with all the animals and everything, we're really probably using 20 acres or less actively on any given year. However, we have a really heavy rotation, so we do tend to use more over the course of our rotation period, which is constantly changing, but is something like 6 to 8 years. We're probably under 50 acres, I guess.
So to summarize, what you're saying that on under 50 acres of intensive rotation where you're regenerating the land with organic practices, you're able to put food on the table for 1,000 families?
I think that's possible, yeah.
Organic farming can feed the world, I'd say. So in addition to all the food and the families you support, you're also able to employ some local people, I'm sure, to help you do all this stuff on the farm during the year. How many people are you able to employ on a regular part-time or full-time basis?
Well, we do, in the summertime, our employment goes up, and we have usually 4 full-time, plus ourselves makes 6, I guess. My wife and I both are on the farm full-time. And then in the winter, we drop down to where it's probably about 3 of us full time. We have part time people all season. We have a great crew of volunteers and barter folks who barter, I should say, that come and help us with the poultry processing. So we can have as many as 11 or 12 people here to help process chicken, which is awesome. And our turkeys, we had 13 or 14 people each time we were processing turkeys this year. So it's a lot of folks ultimately to help out. And not everybody's making like a ton of money. Nobody's making a ton of money off of it, but they're all here because they care about food and they care about what we're trying to do.
And I'm sure they eat well.
We all eat well. That's number one rule. We love the food and we get as much as we want.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about farming is you may not make a lot of money, but you do get to live like a king or like royalty. So what is the favorite thing that you produce on the farm for you to eat?
That's a really tough question to answer because we raise so many things that I love.
It could be top three.
Well, I think the number one, I was talking to my wife about it, has got to be pork, just because I really enjoy eating it. I enjoy raising the animals. I like working with them. They're just really fun, really interesting animals, and they got a lot of personality. And that's why one of the reasons they're my favorite. They also taste really good, which I know is hard for people to like feel both ways about an animal. I also like celeriac a lot, and so many people do not like celeriac, and it is one of my favorite things we raise.
Oh yeah, I agree. Celeriac, I like to cut it up into little slivers like French fries, and then roast it up crispy in the oven. That's my favorite way. What's your favorite pork dish to prepare? And do you include celeriac in it? How would you?
I'd like to say bacon, but that's too easy. Everybody likes bacon, but it is so good. I think the sausage that we have is top-notch. Even just ground-up pork and then season it yourself, saute it in the pan with a, it's got enough grease to cook in itself, and then throwing some fresh eggs right in on top of it and stirring it all together. I don't know where celeriac fits in with that, but that's my favorite breakfast has got to be right there. Celeriac is one I actually really like to cut it with mashed potatoes and do like 50-50. So you don't have that full-on celery celeriac taste that can be a bit much. You kind of cut it with potatoes and gives it a really nice taste, and lots of butter, of course.
Can't argue with more butter. I have two more questions. The first one is a thorn in rose, I guess. What would you say is, what's something that this region has in abundance that you're really appreciative of as a farmer? And what is one resource that you would like to see more of that would help you grow your business more?
I think that, oh boy, what's a resource we have? We have a lot of wonderful community here that cares about agriculture and is willing to put their money where their mouth is and come out and support farms. I think that's wonderful. We have very good access to those communities. So we're on Route 2, which is, you know, 9 miles right in Detroit, and there are 50,000 people in there. If we go a little out of our way down Route 7, we can be in Latham. We can be in Albany in 25 minutes or less. We're so close to so many people that care a lot about food. Boy, nobody would believe me, but I actually think access to Albany and the government there is really good. As farmers, we need to constantly be thinking about how to make the system better for us and how to encourage more people to go into farming. And so I go and lobby on a fairly regular basis there for a lot of organizations. And it makes me actually feel like we have some sort of control over what's going on in the world, or at least to get our voices out there and be heard. And if you don't go out there and lobby, if you don't find yourself in Albany, you know, once a month or every couple months, you really should consider going down there and just telling your congresspeople how you feel and getting them moving in the right direction. And the other side of that was,
What's one resource that you would that isn't really available that would, if it was available, would help you to grow your business?
Oh boy, can I say flat land? We have so many hills on our farm. It's beautiful. We have this beautiful farm that overlooks the Hudson Valley. We can see the Catskills. I can see Corning Tower from our upper pastures. But it's really hard to grow vegetables on a hilly ground, and it's hard to grow much of anything. Cows are really good at walking up and down. I'm four-legged animals. But we struggle with that, and a nice river bottom wouldn't be so bad. I also need to disclose I'm from Illinois, so we're talking flat corn country where I grew up. So maybe I'm just used to seeing that, but it does get a little tricky. It's a real uphill battle. Can I say that?
I'll take it.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for great puns. So this is about wraps up our time. What would you? Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about your farm, or if and where your products can be available, if they can find more information about you?
Yeah, we are at the Troy Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 o'clock until 2 o'clock. Come and check us out there. Come talk to me. The biggest thing about us that not everybody knows is one of our major goals is not just surviving as a farm, but educating the community. So come out, talk to us, ask me questions, ask me how we do what we do. You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it, but we will be upfront with you about how we like to raise our animals and our vegetables. And seek out other farmers that do that. I think it's the biggest thing in food for every person is finding what is important for you and finding the answers to the questions you have.
Great, Zach. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.